Hello, everyone. We are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today, we are hosting Jeanine Marie Powell, certified divorce coach and has a master in journalism. This podcast is brought to you by CirclesApp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, cancer, etc. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates an audio chat room for people dealing with the same life challenge. We will tell their story and the story of the members of their groups. Today, we are focusing on divorce. And I don't know if you knew, but 1.3 million people are going through divorce every year in the U.S. They often feel shame and blame and find it hard to share with others. So Jeanine, thank you so much for being here with us, sharing your story and the story of your members.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you so much for providing us with this platform. And it's so interesting, that statistic you gave, that the number of people who are going through divorce is astounding. And yet that many people are going through divorce, but yet when you go through it, you still feel so alone, which is really interesting, right? So many people are going through this experience, but when it hits you, you've never felt so alone. And that's kind of what happened to me, and what led me to do what I do now, and why I'm so passionate about facilitating these groups, is because I went through it myself. And 10 years ago, my marriage came to an end. And at the time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I had two small children. They were 5 and 10. And I was blindsided by my ex-husband was having an affair, and I was totally shocked and I was in disbelief. And my whole life got turned upside down in a matter of an instant. And I had so many questions and so many concerns. I was totally heartbroken and overwhelmed. And I was wondering, you know, how my life was going to be going forward. And I had a brilliant legal team. I had a wonderful therapist. I had so much support from my family and friends. And it still wasn't enough. Like, I still was struggling so hard for so long. And I feel like having a support group was really the main missing link in my healing journey. You know, just being able to talk to other people who really understood, or, you know, sometimes I would talk to my friends and family and I would just feel so frustrated, like, they don't get it, right? Like, they don't really get what I'm going through. So I really wish there was a platform like this that I had known of, or that was available all those years ago. So I'm so grateful for what you have created here.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. And if you don't mind sharing with us the moment, or one moment from the beginning of the process, like when you realized that you are going through a divorce, if you can reflect back on what did you feel in that?
Gosh, if I had to sum it up in one word, and it sounds like I'm being dramatic, but I was terrorized. I was terrified, right? Yeah. It was terrifying. It was overwhelming. I didn't know the steps in the process. I didn't know who I could trust, who I could talk to, where to begin, how to protect my children. So it was terrifying and overwhelming all at once. And and not knowing where to go for the comfort and support.
Yes. Yes. It's, as you said, like, it's really, on one hand, it's really common. On the other hand, when someone is going through a divorce, we feel so lonely. We are the only one in the world that feels that way or experience that. And I think that's the reason why we are recording this episode. And that's the reason why we are building the platform, the Circles platform, to make sure that nobody in the world will be left alone. And can you go back and, after you describe some really challenging emotions and challenging times, can you remember a moment of hope? Like, when was the moment of hope? Like, the first moment of hope for you after this really hard process?
Oh my gosh, it took a long time. I mean, it really did, and it wasn't till the first time. And I guess what made it difficult too, at the time, most of my, you know, my parents were still married. There wasn't a lot of divorce in my family. My closest friends were all still married. So I think the first time I really started you know, finding hope was when I started to connect to somebody else who had gone through a divorce and realized they were already 2 years out and realized like, okay, they're making it. They've started a new life for themselves. And if they did it, then I can do it too. So it was when I sort of, you know, attached on to, you know, a friend who had gone through something similar. It was a new friend. It wasn't somebody I had known in my past. And so when I started reaching out and realizing there were other people who were on this path before me, and then I could have sort of, you know, learn from their experiences and insight and see how they were doing it and making it work. But it took me a long time to get there.
And then after that, you went ahead and decided to help other people that are going through a divorce.
Yes. Yeah. And
take yeah. a decision or.
Well, you hear that a lot, right? When we, it's part of the healing process, right? When we can turn our pain into a purpose and our pain becomes our passion, and reflecting back on what I had gone through and how gut-wrenching it was, and just realizing like there has to be an easier way to get through this. And I want to be that easier way for other people to, like you said, provide hope. That's really what you need, the hope and help. So that's when I found out. And at the time, I didn't even realize there was such a thing as a divorce coach. And as soon as I found out that that was an actual profession, I was like, I'm there. Like, this is it. This is my calling. This is what I want to do. And, you know, we can't make somebody else's pain go away, but we can certainly ease the journey. We can certainly provide that level of feeling connected that can make all the difference in someone's progress. And like I said, it is a progress and a process. And we can really, like I said, ease that journey for others by sharing our experiences and learning from each other. And even now, you know, I'm 10 years post my divorce and facilitating these groups, I still learn from the members. Like, we all learn from each other constantly, from each other's experiences, from each other's insights. And it's really, you know, solid connections that help us get through the most difficult times.
Yeah. So you mentioned the rooms. So you're leading audio rooms for people that are going through a divorce. People can join and keep their anonymity, but still can meet a group of people that are going through the same life challenge, divorce in that case. Can you share with us a story of a member or two that that kind of like pops in mind that were in the room? Specifically, if you can share about what they were dealing with, and also kind of like, what do you think they got out of being part of a room?
Yeah. So what's interesting is that people come into the rooms and all of our situations are a little bit different, and we're all transitioning at a little bit different times, but the underlying emotions are often very similar, right? The similar struggles. And one woman's really standing out in my mind. She had been married for 20 years. And had been really dependent on her husband for, you know, her emotional needs, her financial needs. He was her partner for a very long time. And she was devastated to the point where she didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. She was overwhelmed by sadness and just was feeling terribly defeated and not motivated, and she was isolating herself. And the groups, I think, were pretty much her only contact that she was having with people was when she would call in on these groups, because it was a safe place to talk. And one of the main things that we helped her do at, you know, as a group, where people were sharing things that they did very early on in the process when they didn't feel like getting out of bed. And what it really came down to was self-care, right? When we're going through something traumatic, we forget the basic elements of self-care. And I think we really helped her like brainstorm ways, like, what do you need to do to feel good right now? Like, some basic things like getting enough sleep, eating the right foods that are going to nourish us, exercising, moving our bodies, spending some time in the fresh air, like some basic things that, yeah, they're not going to make the situation go away, but they're going to help us energize us and give us, you know, some added strength to deal with these difficult emotions. So when the group was brainstorming, we can ask each other, well, what did you do? What did you do? And the ideas were terrific. I mean, people were just saying things that they did, whether it was journaling or meditating or praying or finding new hobbies or, you know, taking a trip or planning one little thing in their day to look forward to or getting on a routine. I mean, the list goes on and on. And some of the ideas were so creative. So that's another thing that's so great about having a call with so many people on it is that some of the ideas, like I said, are really creative and things that you might not have, you know, thought of on your own. So I think we really helped her to just kind of get back on track with some basic, sometimes that's where you have to start with the most basic things. It seems like common sense, but when you're in this emotional spiral, you forget the very basics of the, you know, self-care and things that you can do to sort of lift yourself up a little bit. So that was a really good discussion where I feel like it helped this woman tremendously.
Amazing. And also the maybe the acknowledgement of, you know, she's going through this phase of hardship and kind of like and losing power and kind of like and that motivation, obviously. And now the acknowledgement of other team members or other peers that are going through the same life challenge or went through this life challenge. Makes you feel normal, right? Makes you feel
totally makes you feel normal. And another important like concept that came up during this discussion was just realizing people don't often think about this, but going through a divorce in very many ways, it's like a death, right? So there's the grieving process and letting her feel like, okay, it's normal some days if you just want to stay in bed and that's okay. You know, if you need that day, because it's part of the grieving process and you are mourning and there's so much loss associated with death, with the divorce, right? It, like I said, very similar to a death. And then once even just we shared that awareness with her, that alone just made her feel better. Like, okay, this is normal. I'm not going crazy and there is hope and this is a process and I'm, you know, going to get out of it. And again, you know, with those simple self-care routines. So, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people neglect their self-care or turn to poor means of self-care, right? They'll either, you know, forget to eat or eat too much or start drinking or doing other ways of self-medicating. And it's really important to just kind of think of healthy ways to take care of ourselves during the grieving process.
Yeah. We also see in the rooms that sometimes people don't realize that they are going through a life crisis. Like They think they are going through a divorce, but it's a divorce and that's it. Like sometimes they don't realize how impactful it is for their life. No, they feel bad, but I feel like the expectation is that you should function, right? You should go on with your life.
Yes. And that's so true because, and people will say things to you, like, you know, even when you're going through a divorce and somebody might say to you, oh, well, just move on. And it's kind of like, well, you wouldn't say that to me if my spouse died, would you, you know, or, you know, so it's just realizing the depth of this loss and not to make light out of it. And that, you know, life is going to be different going forward.
Yeah. Thanks. Can you think of another member on your rooms with another story that?
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because these rooms, you know, we get perspectives, the female perspective and the male perspective, and it's really nice. And this one man was having a difficult time. He was also newly divorced and he and his wife were now living separately, but his wife was still, even though they were officially divorced, relying on him for a lot of things. So expecting him to do things for her. She was putting lots of demands on him. She was calling him at all hours of the night and dealing with him in a very unproductive manner and being very critical and sort of attacking him and attacking his character and making all these demands. And he would feel guilty and end up doing things for her, whether it was, you know, and she didn't, what it came down to was she wasn't respecting his boundaries, right? She would show up at his house whenever she felt like it. She would call him whenever she felt like it. And kind of what, as a group, you know, in the discussion, we talked about the importance of redefining your roles once you're divorced, right? Because people, especially if they've been married a long time, they get divorced, but then they still keep behaving like husband and wife. And it's a process to redefine those roles. Like, okay, you can't really, I mean, obviously, if you have children, you're still going to be in each other's lives, but you do have to redefine those roles and set some really healthy boundaries. And that was a really awesome, productive conversation about setting boundaries and the effectiveness of boundaries and what has to be put in place in order for the boundaries to work. And that is a big, big issue when people are going through divorce, is learning how to, you know, come up with these boundaries so that it's almost impossible to move forward when you don't have those boundaries. It's like you're reliving the marriage all over again.
Yeah. You know, such an important topic and such an important conversation, still so rare, right? So hard to find places to speak. And, you know, sometimes when we speak to members or people that want to join rooms, they find it hard to kind of cross, you know, just clicking on the button to get into a room. It's really like that joining a room could be really stressing for people or challenging. Can you share with us, like, what's the experience and how do you welcome or how do you acknowledge people that are joining the room? What are your expectations from your members? Hopefully it will help people.
Well, this is what I found from the very first room that I hosted. What was so amazing to me was at the beginning of the hour, there were a bunch of strangers that came into a room, right? And by the end of an hour, there was almost like this bond created where people were connected and formed, like, you know, had tremendous conversation with one another. And I do always welcome everybody in the room and let them know, obviously, this is a safe, non-judgmental place. And you are willing, you know, you are welcome to participate as much or as little as you want. So some people, you know, at first might just want to listen. Other people, you know, are more comfortable talking. So there's never any pressure to contribute. I always invite the conversation and encourage the conversation and thank the people who do open up. But it is a time where there's no pressure, right? There's no pressure. There's just support and understanding and encouragement. And like I said, I am amazed how, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of months now. And every single session, I leave with such gratitude that, you know, and I thank these people. They're showing up for each other and they're showing up for themselves. And I think they're really growing from the experience.
Yeah. And definitely, when we see the feedback that people are leaving after attending your rooms, we are amazed by the lives that you are changing. So thank you so much for sharing your story and your member story. And thank you so much specifically for being there for people. It's not common and not obvious to choose to take the pain and make it something that's for other people. So thank you for doing that.
Yes. And again, thank you so much for providing this platform. It's really fantastic.
Amazing. Thanks for being with us. Meet on the rooms on circlesup.com. Thank you.
Thank you.